Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Too Real. My name is Michael.
Hello. That was awkward.
And your name?
Yeah. We haven't done this in a while. Can you tell? My name is Jillian Rosato, and we are back with the Too Real podcast. We took quite the hiatus.
Since November.
Was it November? Yeah. I can't even remember. It feels like it's been like 6 months.
No, November.
But we are back. I've received multiple DMs saying, where did you go? I'm like, we're here. We let life get the best of us. We could make a million excuses, but
yeah,
we just let life get the best of us. We let busy take over instead of sticking to our commitment to this podcast. But in 2024, that's going to look a lot of different. A lot of different.
And we're also going to learn
English.
Words
are hard.
We're going to wake up. We do a lot of things. We left them on a cliffhanger, too. We were talking about how to lead people in their insecurities.
Yeah. So if you don't remember the last episode, I would go back and listen to it.
Yes.
Before listening to this, because you might just be like, what are they talking about?
Right. And I think we briefly talked about, like, you know, what understanding insecurities and then the impact of insecurities, and that we went on a rant on that because the impacts of insecurity, especially in an organization, leading an organization. So specifically, I want to talk to people who are, you know, going to your workplace, handling insecurities in your family dynamics, those kind of things. But we left them with a cliffhanger because we didn't really let them know, okay, how do you actually help these people?
Mm.
And maybe even help yourself
in
this as well. Yikes. That's okay. We should have.
It's the first time that's ever happened.
That is the first time that's ever happened. Somebody just walked in. That's how unusual it is that we've been recording a podcast.
Right?
We've been out of it so much that somebody interrupted us. But so handling, and poor thing, she's probably now insecure about it all.
We love you, Amanda.
But handling insecurity, I want to ask you a question. So you worked in different arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say a name, but what was the worst person? What was the worst case of insecurity you ever had to deal with at the workplace?
I don't know. I've dealt with, let's be real, I've dealt with it so much more working in a church than ever before.
So let's
it's
talk
wild
about that.
To me.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How have you seen insecurities manifest in the church? So you say you experienced it more in the church than. Because I don't know if everybody knows this. You worked how many years in the mortgage
industry? I was 12 years in the mortgage industry. 12
years in the mortgage industry
before coming here.
Right.
So. Because, like, I guess because it was so fast-paced and there was a job to do, and, like, it was, you don't do your job, you don't have a job.
Right.
So there wasn't, like, a ton of time for, like, how do you feel? There was no time for how you feel. Like,
right.
Let's be honest.
Right.
So in the church setting, it's so different, and it still catches me off guard sometimes because we are caring for the people that work for us, but sometimes people with experience in ministry put their feelings before their work, and sometimes you bump heads when it's like, hey, we still have a job to do. Like,
right.
We're a nonprofit organization, and people give money for this to run. So sometimes you need to put it aside and actually do what people are giving towards.
Yeah.
And I think people get caught up in that because they're so caught up in their insecurities and their feelings and all that stuff. So I think that might be why I experience it so much more now than I ever have before. But I'm sorry, rephrase your question again.
Like, what's the worst case of insecurity you ever had to work with? In terms of, like, a fellow employee, even a boss, that you
have.
Well,
you're my boss, so that could be fun. I've dealt with multiple people with insecurities, and it's this this walking around, like, if they don't do something well, how do you approach them about that in a way that offers constructive criticism? But when someone's insecure, they can't handle that. I would say that's hey, you know, this has been on your to-do list for a month. What are we doing?
Right.
They take that in 10 different directions other than the fact of, I just didn't get around to it and I've been putting it off.
Right.
So I guess insecurity comes in most when it comes time for correction, because I feel an insecure person takes correction as like a character attack rather than like, no, like I want you to get better. I want you to get your job done well. I want you to grow in this area. I want like all these things. Like it's, I want it because I want to see you grow and be better, not because I'm telling you you're a horrible person.
Yeah. Has there ever been a season in your life where work has brought up the insecurities in you?
Well, in the last episode, I talked about how I sometimes don't feel like I'm supposed to be in the room because I don't have the experience of other people when it comes to a church setting. And I've honestly grown in that area significantly this past year. So I would say that when you're, okay, not everyone can identify with this, but like when you're in a room with a bunch of church people and they're saying all these eloquent things and I'm sitting there and I'm like, you're all so full of crap. Like it's so disingenuous.
Yeah.
And that I feel like being put in that setting more and having the awareness of it has helped me grow in that area. Cause I'm like, they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Like they're just saying what they think sounds nice. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from insecurity. It comes from a filtering of yourself. It comes from you not being your true self because you think you need to be perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that used to be the thing that was the hardest for me. And now it's like, they're on the same playing field as me.
Yep.
Discovering that.
Right. Right. So here's a couple things that I have found in helping people through their insecurities, especially the people that I'm working with, people that are on team, those kind of things. So the first thing is like I try my best to help navigate them towards self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that once you disarm insecurity the minute you confess it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you could get them to say, I'm insecure in this area, mm-hmm. I think that's the first step to recovery.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get people to be
self-aware. I was going to say, how can you like practically do that?
I ask them about their story, right? So tell me, mm-hmm. when it's appropriate, right? Hey, tell me about your upbringing. Tell me about, when you get to traumatic issues or traumatic events in their lives, what did that do to you? How does that, and then almost like I'm counseling them while we're working. You know what I mean? Like usually those type of conversations, I like to introduce those kind of conversations like on a project, we're doing something, we're painting, we're moving something, what I mean? Like, and then get to the point where it's like, how did that make you feel back then? But then how does that affect you now?
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get them to confess that, so now I feel like I'm never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like I can't trust anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know what I mean? And then you get them, so now I've helped them confess that that's not a result of the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's a result of something that happened in their past.
Yeah.
So just to help them become more self-aware of it.
Because, mm-hmm.
again, I believe that the moment you disarm insecurity, the moment you're able to confess it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's healed instantaneously.
We could only wish.
We could only wish. But I just think that self-awareness has a huge role in building emotional intelligence in every single person. Mm-hmm. We all have issues.
Yeah.
We all have past. We all have stuff. But until you're able to confidently confess it, you're never going to be able to deal with it. So try to help them that way. I try to help them also to challenge the negative talk. We all have negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
So... hey, let's not say that. Hey, how about you say it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Because what that does, that just feeds their insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So try to create a work environment where just like, yo, don't talk to yourself like that, right?
Okay, so with that though, you have an insecure person. Don't say that, but their response is, well, but that's what I'm really dealing with. Or, well, you're trying to hush me. Or how do you respond in that?
There's a difference. I'm talking about negative self-talk.
Yeah.
Right? So if you could sit there and you could say, help them by saying, they could sit there, I'm having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you really having a bad day? Or did you just have a flat tire this morning?
Mm-hmm.
And then now that frames the rest of your day in one way or another, right?
Okay.
So just to I'm not asking you to be fake. I'm not asking you to not say anything or not talk about what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the negative self-talk robs you about what went right.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to help people create that environment, which is like, let's let's kill the negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying to be oblivious to the issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. You had a flat tire. But that doesn't destroy your whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And also find moments where you could build their self-esteem. Like if I see an insecure person, to try to encourage them and not fake encouragement. I'm not the encourager. I suck at encouragement. You could testify to that. But when I do, like I'm not that person that everybody gets a participation trophy either, but like to find something that they're good at and say, yo, you're really good at that. Right. Mm-hmm. And build their self-esteem up in regards to their strengths, their talents, their giftings, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so that it helps them not throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. At times, and this is harsh, but you have to make enough relational deposits to make this withdrawal. I flat out told people, hey, I think this is limiting you so much. I think you need to seek professional help.
Mm.
And sometimes they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it in the moment, but eventually they'll get to it. Because then again, if you get them to confess it and then you've confessed it, okay, everyone in the room knows this.
Mm-hmm.
So now like the ball's in your court. Are you going to deal with this or not?
Yeah.
And seek professional help. And I think now more than ever, professional help has lost what's the word I'm looking for? Like back in our day, you know, people who saw therapists like, oh, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't need counseling, that kind of stuff, you know. There's an SNL sketch where it's Bad Bunny and Pedro and the girlfriend, he brings a girl, you know, the Spanish dude brings a girlfriend home and the girlfriend, she's like, well, he's depressed. And she goes, my son's not depressed. He just likes the dark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like we just never admitted that we had emotional issues or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because put some dirt on it and walk it off was basically the mentality. But now more than ever, people are open to counseling.
Yeah.
And
there's apps. You don't even have to go see a physical person. You can download an app and have a subscription and talk to someone.
Right. Right. Did you grow up that way where like no one got counseling, nobody, or is that more of a minority?
When my parents got divorced, they took us to a counselor or a therapist. I don't know what their title was. Just to make sure we were okay. And I remember hating it. And I think we went like twice. My memory could be failing me completely. Sorry, mom and dad. But that was it pretty much. When I was going through my divorce, we each sought counseling separately.
Mm.
And I found it helpful, but it wasn't something that I stuck with. And it wasn't something that I like advertised either.
Yeah. But I find it now more than ever, people are just okay with saying, hey, I'm getting help in this area. And so also, I think helping people come into a culture of resilience to keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Say whatever you want about Fervent, like our church organization. I think we're a resilient church. Like we take a hit and we keep on going.
Yeah.
And it's some people have, you know, fallen off the bus of where we're going. But the people who have stayed, I think because of the culture of resilience, the stick-to-itiveness of our culture, they keep on going. And when you have an insecure people around resilient people, eventually some of those insecurities kind of shed off a little bit, because insecurity always wants to quit.
Yeah.
But if you put them around resilient people, they could go beyond their mental limitations and see, oh, there's something on the other side of this insecurity, and that's the best version of myself.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep on going. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing to help people in their insecurities is to talk about your own insecurity. I think empathy is powerful. Like just to say, yo, here's where I am insecure. And sometimes that shocks people because, you know, they see me on a stage or they see videos or recording podcasts and that kind of stuff. And they just say, when you look at a confident person, you think, oh, they have no insecurities. And that couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah.
Everyone has insecurities. And I believe that confidence and insecurity can coexist the same way that faith and doubt can coexist. The same way that love and hate sometimes can coexist.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you need to do is just, okay, continue to exercise your confidence, but continue to work on your insecurity, but to show people and to talk to people about, hey, I struggle in the same flipping way too.
Yeah.
And here's how I not only have overcame it, but here's how I'm continuing to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the quick little tips that I think helping people, especially in the work environment, at home. And it's not easy. Sometimes I don't smoke what I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're helpful when I do activate them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Has any of those ever worked for you?
Me personally receiving those? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm working on other people.
You're working on other people. Yes. Which one has worked receiving it? Like, has worked with you receiving it?
The reminder of the, it, like, if you have a flat tire, well, that's like 2 hours of your day. That's not your whole day.
Yeah.
You know, stop making a motion picture out of a blip on the screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one helps with me when I'm in my modes. If yeah. I'm like super pessimistic, which I think that would surprise some people. I'm naturally like a really negative person and I have to work really, really hard to like work my way through that.
Yeah.
So sometimes I come across like, oh, sunshine and roses. But it's like me just trying to work my way out of that negativity.
Yeah. Do you think pessimism is attached or connected in some kind of way with insecurity?
Yeah, because pessimism is a form of criticism and you're only criticizing when you're feeling insecure, when you're not happy with where you're at, like 100%.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we said in the last podcast, like you're never going to be criticized by someone doing more than you.
Right.
So that sounds like insecurity to me, or jealousy, or whatever you want to call it.
Right, right.
So yeah, I think so. Yeah. Come at me if you don't agree.
Come at me.
I don't care.
I would love, you know, we planned on this last time we got together just to get more listener questions. So invite the listener to, hey, share your own experience and questions related to, you know, leading people with their insecurity, helping people out, or, you know, tell us, like you just said. Yeah, that doesn't work with me.
Yeah.
I would love to even work through that as well. And none of these are the magic bullet to handle the situation, but I think it's a good start.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So can you tell everybody what they could do to help us spread the love
here? All right.
The
podcast? So it's been a while, but you can check us out on YouTube. You can see our faces. We are here. We are smiling. We are waving. We're also on all of your favorite podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
iHeartRadio, all the things. And when you are checking us out on your podcast platforms, give us a follow, a subscribe, rate us. When you see our posts on social media, give it a like, give it a comment, give it a share. And we will be back next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, right
here.
Too real. Peace.